I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Exodus. I just want to read a verse of Scripture. Once you find your place in the book of Exodus, you can stand. Exodus chapter number 3, if you would turn there. Exodus chapter number 3. I have a thought on my heart that I'd like to share with you that God's laid on my heart, and I hope that it would be a help to you and an encouragement to you. I've been thinking about the virgin birth of Jesus. You know, there's a lot of people that deny the virgin birth of Jesus. There's even some folks who say they're saved. They say Jesus was not born of a virgin. I think it's an impossibility to be saved without believing that Jesus was born of a virgin. How can you believe he's the Christ if you do not believe he was born sinless? And the only way Jesus could be born sinless is that he was born of a virgin. It's the only way. I know the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1 that when Jesus would come, that his name would be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I thought about this passage of Scripture. It's a very familiar passage here in Exodus. You know the story, how that God had gone to Moses and he said, you know, I've seen the afflictions of my people, Moses, and I'm going to send you back. And I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses did like a lot of us, didn't he? He started telling God why he couldn't do what God told him to do. Right? You say, that Moses was a rascal, wasn't he? Well, yeah, like you. Like me. It's amazing how that when God tells us to do something, one of the first things we start thinking is how we can't do it or why we can't do it. And here in Exodus chapter 3, Moses did the same thing. Let's pick up our reading in verse number 10. God speaking to Moses said, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. Aren't you glad for that promise? Amen. Amen. Can I tell you that anything that God tells you to do, he'll be with you as you do it? God's callings are God's enablements. God has never called you or me to do, or anyone, to do anything that he hasn't enabled us to do. And I'm thankful for that, and it's right here. And he said, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. He said, it's going to happen. Amen. God said, this is going to happen. He said, you just go tell him it's going to happen. Don't you worry about how. You just go tell him and it's going to happen. You're going to serve me on this mountain. Amen. Then he said in verse number 13, Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. In just a moment, we're going to turn to the book of John, chapter number 6. And I just want to take a few moments and go through some I ams. There's 7 times that Jesus said that he was, and he mentions a substance, or he mentions a source in which he was. And he did this primarily to the Jewish nation. He did this to say, I am. I'm the self-existent one. I'm the self-sustaining one. I am the I am. And I'm glad that he is. Aren't you? So, this season in which many people will worry and panic and frantic and there'll be chaos, I pray that God would lay upon your heart that the I am that spoke to Moses is the I am that he sent to Bethlehem, and he is the I am in your life and in my life, and he is capable of doing everything that we need him to do in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you preserved a copy of your Word for us, that when we look into your Word, we do not have to fear that it's just the Word of a man, but we can receive it as it is in truth, the very Word of God. And I pray you'd help us to receive it that way this evening. Speak to our hearts as we look into your Word about the authority, about the deity, about the eternality of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. But we know that we love you only because you first loved us. And I pray that you would stir our hearts to be more in love with you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to John chapter number 6. And what I'd like to do is just walk through the Gospel of John and give you seven times, or what's called the seven I am sayings. And I'm not going to spend much time on any of them. And if I do, well then, if I feel like, well, you know what, I'll just stop right here, then that's what I'll do. And we'll look at the others maybe another time. But there's seven times, and it begins here in John chapter 6. I want you to look at verse number 35. John chapter 6 and verse number 35. John 6 verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. What's happening here? Well, that statement was made around a huge event that took place. The feeding of the 5,000. There was a time in the ministry of the Lord Jesus and the disciples where there was a crowd that gathered, and you can pick up on this in your own time back in John chapter number 6 and verse 1. And there was a multitude of people there, and the disciples said, Lord, you know, these people don't have anything to eat. You know, let's just send them away. You know, it's getting dark, you know, and let's just send away. And he said, no, he said, gather the people. And you know the story, and how that, you know, Andrew said, well, no, there's a little lad here, and you know, he doesn't have a whole lot. And he said, well, you know, bring me what he has. And what a great lesson that is even of itself. Amen. Just bring me what you have. I think sometimes people think, well, I have to have this gift, and I have to be this way and that way. You just give Jesus what you have. Amen. You give him what you have. You give him who you are as you are, and he'll give you back who you need to be as you need to be. Amen. Jesus can do that. And so the story is, the account in the Scripture, that after this happened, that there was this debate over the bread. You know, well, you know, our fathers gave us bread. And Jesus said, well, you know, this is different. He said, this is different. He said, I'm going to tell you really what's different. He said, I'm different. I'm the bread of life. And they began to really, you know, go back and forth over this. And they said, no, wait a minute. What do you mean you're the bread of life? Our fathers got bread from Moses. And they just never could get in contact with what Jesus is saying. Your need is not physical. Your need is spiritual. And they couldn't see it. I want you to notice what happened here. After that happened in the feeding of the 5,000, look, if you would, in verse 22 of John chapter 6. The next day, the following day, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none of the boat there, so they all gathered back around Jesus. You know, Jesus dismissed himself after the feeding of the 5,000. And you know the story about how the disciples went out on the boat and Jesus went walking to them on the water. Well, the next day, the day following, they came back. And they began to ask about that again, about the bread, the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus made a statement that I want to hone in on here in verse number 27. He said this. He said, labor not, look at verse 27, for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for he hath God the Father sealed. And so Jesus said that your problem is not that you need a physical bread. You think that's your problem. That's not your problem. He said, your problem is you need a spiritual bread. See, bread is essential, and that's why Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. It's essential. And he said, I am essential. Now, some time ago, you know, we had this big deal in our country over what was essential and what was not. And we had people trying to tell us Walmart's essential, but Jesus is not. Well, I'm going to tell you, Jesus is essential. Amen. I mean, Jesus is essential. And he made it known right here. He said, I am the bread of life. Now, I looked at this word labor, Because what Jesus was telling these people, you're going to be going after something. God made you, now listen to this, God made you in such a way that you're going to be looking for something to fill something in your life. If you do not get the right thing to fill that, you'll just go from one thing to the next. You're going to labor for that filling. You see what he's saying? He's saying you're going to labor. You're going to just keep looking for something to fill that vacuum that only I can fill. He said, God sealed me for that would fill that emptiness. There is a yearning in man. There is a longing in man. There is a hunger in man that only Christ can fill. And he said, I am the bread of life. Now, when you look at verse number 30, let's pick up in verse number 32. It says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. They said, well, you know, Moses, you know, he gave us that bread. That's not what you need. See, that bread you eat and you hunger again. Amen. That's physical bread. He said, that's not what you need. You need something that when you eat, you'll never hunger again. Can I tell you, since I came to Christ, he met the need that I've never hungered again. Amen. Amen. And so he said, that's not what you need. He said, that bread's not from heaven. They couldn't get it. I want to show you what they said. And so he said, my Father, in verse 32, he giveth the true bread from heaven. Now, the true bread. And then in verse 33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven. Boy, they really struggled with that. Okay? As a matter of fact, they took a shot at him over... verse number 42, they said, you know, they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? I mean, wasn't he that one where they was kind of fooling around and before marriage and he was born in fornication? That's what they were saying. And he's going to try to tell us that he's of God, religious people, right? And he's going to, he came down from heaven. He didn't come down from heaven. See, they didn't believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. They didn't believe that Jesus was God incarnate. And so he's trying to teach them, but their minds are blind. They're dark. Their eyes needed to be open. Notice what he said here in verse number 33, the latter part. He said, the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. In other words, what time we'll go eat tomorrow? Right? They just don't. What time's the feeding tomorrow? You know, you gave us that physical bread. And so, you know, that means Jesus is just going to, he's just going to keep us up. Just going to give us bread every day. Physical bread. Jesus said, no. Jesus said in verse number 35, he said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He said, don't you get it? Yeah, what do you mean tomorrow? That bread, you can eat that bread and you're hungry tomorrow. I could feed you tomorrow and you'd be hungry the next day. But if you'll take the spiritual bread, if you'll come to me, if you'll believe in me. And by the way, I'm not going to go through this, but in verse number 37, he said, you must come. You must come. Look what he said. He said, and all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. He said it again over in the latter part of verse 45. Cometh to me. You got to come. You got to realize there's a need. You got to get hungry enough, right? Say, well, I'm hoping somebody, it could be a loved one. Listen, folks will never eat of the bread of life until they get hungry enough. Now, here's a problem we can make, and a mistake we can make, and I pray to God that I would not do it, that you would not do it, and that is that we just try to get people to get saved because we want them to get saved so much and we don't let them get hungry enough. You listening to me? Hungry enough. Got to get hungry enough. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, the whole need not a physician. You got to get sick enough, right? You've got to get sick enough before you realize that you need a physician. You've got to get hungry enough before you realize that you need something outside of yourself. And so Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I want you to know something in verse number 40. He said, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son. Isn't that an interesting statement? Verse 40, he said, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." You say, seeth the Son. Yeah, with their spiritual eyes. See, Jesus is trying to tell them, this is not a physical matter. I'm talking to you about spiritual things. You do know you have spiritual eyes. Amen. And until those spiritual eyes are open, you are spiritually blind, and people will never partake of the bread of life until God opens their spiritual eyes. It's the only way. I'm so thankful for when God opened my spiritual eyes. I'll never forget it, brethren. You won't either, by the way. You won't ever forget when God opened your spiritual eyes. You saw. It dawned on you. God brought it to your remembrance. God brought it to your mind. God put it in your heart. God opened your spiritual eyes where you could see yourself as a sinner in need of the bread of life. Aren't you glad for that? Well, there's a lot more in here, okay? And I'm not going to, I want to just skip over some things. And so they murmured. You know, look what verse number 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." They said, "He's not, that's not who he is. He's the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Well, you know, he's the son of Joseph and Mary." No, he's not either. He's the Son of God. And he's trying to tell them that. So this "I am the bread of life," it's centered around the feeding of the 5,000. What is Jesus telling them? He's saying, listen, that what I done yesterday? He said, "I've got something far better than that. You think that was something? Now listen to me." He said, "You think me taking that little handful of rations you gave me and feeding 5,000 men plus women and children, you think that's something? I've got something to offer you that's far greater than that." Amen. You think that was a miracle? You think that you got to witness something yesterday by the feeding and taking up the baskets and the fragments? He said, "When you partake of me as the bread of life, when you come to me, I've got something for you that far outweighs what you saw yesterday." Amen. And so the bread of life, he said, "I am the bread of life." Now turn over if you would. Let me say this. Because I have to show this. I was reading this past week, and it said, look at verse number 59. Jesus, again, he's very patient, and he's trying to teach them, and they just keep on and on and on, you know. Look at verse number 59. "These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, they said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?'" Now, when Jesus knew it in himself that his disciples murmured at this, he said unto them, "Does this offend you?" Why are you offended at this? Can I tell you, people get offended when you tell them how to get saved. They get offended at that. These people were getting offended. You know why? Because they wanted to have something to do with it. That's why I used the word in verse number 27, labor. People want to have something to do with their salvation. That's why people do not come to Christ. That's why people do not, when they do, they don't trust him for eternal life. They think they have to do something to stay saved. Amen. And so he said, "Does this offend you?" And it does. Jesus says the bread of life offends people. Now go over, if you would. By the way, if you'll continue reading that, and I don't want to get all into that, but there's people that turned and walked away. They followed him no more. They just couldn't take it. They didn't want to believe Jesus was the need of their life. Jesus is the need of every life. Turn over, if you would, to John chapter number 8. Here's a second "I am." A second "I am." Look in verse number 12. "Then spake Jesus," I'm in John chapter 8 and verse number 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.'" Praise the Lord. Now what just happened? What just happened? Another incident just happened, right? The first incident, the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life." Now there's another incident that's happened here. It's a very familiar incident. The Pharisees and the scribes had brought a woman taken in adultery, right? And they threw her before the Lord. Now, you know. Yeah, we call her in the very act. "Now Moses said she ought to be stoned to death, put to death. But what say you?" You know what Jesus did. He stooped down, wrote in the ground, then he got up and he said, "Woman, thou thine accusers? She said, I have none. He said, well, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, what happened here? Well, first of all, let me make very clear something. Jesus did not say, go and sin some more. Amen. That's not what he said. He didn't even say, go and sin just a little more. He said, go and sin no more. What do you think about that? Well, now, wait a minute now, preacher. Wait, whoa. We have to sin. Well, now, every sin you committed today, you chose to sin. Amen. We choose to sin. You sinned as much or as little today as you chose. Amen. Don't you buy into this thing. Well, you know what? The devil made me do it. Devil's never made you do anything. Can't do it. So Jesus, listen, the standard of God is high, brethren. God is holy. Amen. Well, what would you think of a God that said, well, now you go and just sin a little bit. I wouldn't serve that God. Would you? Amen. You go and just sin a little bit now. And Jesus said, no, God's standard is high. You go and sin no more. Now, go is grace. Sin no more is truth. Amen. God doesn't expect us to sin. Now, God knows that we're sinners, but God doesn't take our sin lightly because we're sinners. Don't you ever get that in your heart and mind. You'll take sin lightly. That may be what's wrong with our churches today. We view sin too lightly. When we start viewing sin lightly, listen, there's terrible things in the future for us. And so when Jesus forgave her, he said, listen, he said, I'm not going to condemn you. I'll forgive you, but now I want you to go and I want you to live better. Amen. Amen. God has a right to expect that when he has forgiven us, when God has saved us. You say, preacher, you believe you're sinless? I know I'm not, but I do want to sin less. And you ought to if you're saved in the grace of God. Somebody say amen with me now. You say, well, now, preacher, don't you know that we're Baptists? Yeah, I know what we are. We're Christians. And Christians ought to strive for the excellency, for the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And we ought to strive to live a dedicated, consecrated, pure life. And the scripture says here that Jesus said, now I want you to go and sin no more. You say, well, preacher, how can I do that? Well, look at verse 12. The story ends in verse number 11. The Bible says, let's read it. Verse number 11 says this. The latter part of verse number 10. He said unto the woman, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Amen. So how am I going to do that? How am I going to go and sin no more, preacher? Well, Jesus said this, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. I think Jesus is telling us how right here. You walk with God. You walk in the light as he is in the light. And we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, I could say a lot about this. But I've been thinking about maybe tying this in to maybe a Christmas message about Jesus being the light of the world. I do want to say this. This may come as a surprise to you. It may not. Jesus said, I'm not the only light of the world. There's someone else who's the light of the world. You might be surprised who it is. If you're saved, it's you. Matthew 5, he said, ye are the light of the world. But then there's a difference. See, Jesus' light is a generated light. He is light. That is the essence of who he is. Our light is just a reflective light. Amen. See, Jesus is the sun. Is that right? Yes. The moon reflects the sun. The moon doesn't generate light. The moon reflects light. Is that right? Amen. So as I walk with the Lord, as I walk in fellowship with him, I'll reflect his light. We ought to reflect the light of God. We're the light of the world. And so Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Say, well, I want to stay clean. I want my reflector to stay clean. Well, just stay in the Word. Right? Just stay in the Word. The Word cleanses us. You want to keep from sinning? We talked about it Sunday night, didn't we, brethren? Didn't we, brethren? You got to hide this book right here in your heart. You got to stay in this book. Got to stay close to the Lord. Got to follow. Isn't that what he said? Look at verse 12 again. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. I think that's clear enough. If you're not walking in darkness, what are you walking in? Light. I am. Aren't you glad Jesus is the light of the world? Aren't you glad Jesus can keep us from sinning? Amen. You don't have to live a defeated, sin-trodden life. You can live a victorious life. Free. Delivered, brethren. Delivered. I am the light of the world. Let's look at one more. Turn over, if you would, to John chapter number 10. In John chapter number 10, let's read in verse number 7. I'll get two more, and then I'll give you the others, but I want to go into detail on these. There's seven of them, and so I won't make it through all seven. Look, if you would, in verse number 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I'm in John chapter 10 and verse number 7. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. What's the difference between a thief and a robber? Aren't they both just after what you have? Well, a thief, I think, takes, he tries to come when you're not there. He wants to steal without you knowing it. A robber, he's violent. He'll beat you up. He'll take you out to get what you have. That's right. And I want to tell you, they're both very active today. And Jesus said, all that ever came before me, verse 8, are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Here it is. I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the door. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the door of the sheepfold? That's what he's saying. As a matter of fact, he said, the only way you can get into the fold is through me. That's the only way. You have to come by me. But that's not all he's saying. He said, once you get in, I make sure you stay in. And by the way, if you get out, I'm coming after you. Amen. Aren't you glad Jesus is that way? I'm glad that when I get out, Jesus comes after me. He'll leave the 99 and come after me. Amen. You say, I'm going to live the way I want to. Not long. Not if you're one of the sheep. Because shepherd's coming after you. And he's bringing you back to the fold. Amen. That's the word, brethren. That's the word. There's some enduring terms here I want you to look at. Look, if you would, let's look at verse number 5. I'm glad that the Bible says, Jesus said, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Amen. See, the sheep know their shepherd. They don't follow just any voice. They don't follow just anyone. Jesus went on to say in this chapter, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Right? Amen. So I'm thankful that Jesus is the door. There's a statement there in verse number 10, verse number 9, rather, I want you to look at. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. But then there's something after that. He said, once he enters, he's saved. But now watch this. He said, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I'm glad that God leads us and guides us and watches over us and feeds us and cares for us. That's our great shepherd, amen. I'm glad that Jesus is that to me. As a matter of fact, he said, if you will allow me to, in verse number 10. Well, let me show this first. I was looking for it earlier. I think it's here in verse number 3. It says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Look at verse 3. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Aren't you glad that Jesus knows your name? Just calls you by your name. You ever been laying maybe in the quietness of a night or in the early morning and you could just hear, maybe been laying in bed and you just hear the name, Jesus, call your name and say, Let's fellowship some. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? I hope you do. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out. In and out. The liberty that we have, the care that we have, the feeding, the pasture that we have. I'm so thankful for that. When I say, I meant pasture. Shall go in and out. Look at verse number 9. Shall go in and out and find pasture, feeding ground, right? Resting ground. And he said, now, there's a thief now. He's going to try to take all these things from you. But he said, I want to give you life and life more abundantly. Now, what does that mean? He said, the more you follow me, the more abundant life will be. Now, don't miss this. Okay? You following? Or is your life abundant? That doesn't necessarily mean with material things. It could be with joy, unspeakable and full of glory. It could be with liberty. Is your life abundant? I pray to God that it is. I pray your life is abundant. I am. Jesus wants to be that to you. It's not I was, right? So, well, Jesus used to do this for me, or Jesus used to be this to me. Jesus, listen, Jesus is not I was. He's I am. Amen. All that maybe he used to be to you, he wants to be today. And he will be if we'll allow him to be. I want to give you one more, and it's right here in this chapter that I'll talk about a little bit, and then I want to give you the others. I'll just go ahead and give those to you now. So we have here, I am the good shepherd. And then in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. We talked about that. The resurrection for those that are dead in Christ, alive to life to we which are alive and remain. And then in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? So, preacher, I don't have enough trouble in my life. I'd like to find some trouble. Well, good. Let me give you something to do at work tomorrow. Go into your break room and tell everyone that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Only way. Just one way to heaven. See how that flies. Right? People don't like to hear that. You mean to tell me that you're so narrow-minded to believe that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven? Well, I mean to tell you that that's what God said, and I believe it. Amen. So, yes, I do mean to tell you that. There's only one way to heaven. There's not two. That's right. Amen. Not changing on that, ever. Ever. By the grace of God. One way to heaven, brethren. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That sounds real clear to me. Simple. And then I am the true vine in John 15, right? I am the true vine. I'm glad that I'm one of the branches. Aren't you? I'm glad that God, listen, sometimes he purges us. He has to clip some things off, right? Maybe there's somebody here tonight. I'm going to go back to the Good Shepherd. I'll close there. But maybe there's somebody here tonight that you say, preacher, I'm a branch of the vine. And I'm bringing forth fruit. Can I tell you that God may want you to bring forth more fruit? In order to do that, he may have to clip some things off of your life. And it doesn't necessarily have to be through correction. It could be through instruction. Purging is not always through correction. Sometimes we just get so many things going on in our life, we're fire at a lot of things, and God wants us to be good at a few things. Somebody say amen with me. You can get your plate too full of good stuff. As a matter of fact, if you live to Christmas, you'll probably do that. Somebody say amen. Just because God wants to take something off your plate doesn't mean it was bad. God may want to take something away. He may want to clip and purge you from something that's keeping you from being really good in some area because you're spread too thin. I've done it in my life. And if you serve God long enough, you probably have too. And so what God takes away from you, don't take that as a punishment all the time. God may be really preparing you for something great in an area of your life that he wants to propel you into in a greater way. I'm glad for the purging hand of the husbandman. Aren't you? Let's go back to this and we'll close here in John chapter 10. So there's are the seven I ams, right? The seven I ams. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. We'll come back to that one. I'm the resurrection of the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm the true vine. Let's talk about the shepherd. If you're there in John chapter 10, I'm going to close here. So Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse number 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I was thinking about this, and I can't tell you how many times I've preached. Jesus, he loved to refer to himself as a shepherd. I'm glad I belong to his fold. He is indeed the good shepherd. One time he refers, the scripture does in the book of Hebrews, to him as the great shepherd. But I'm so thankful that I belong to the fold, aren't you? I want to give you three things. I hope you'll write them down. I do. I think they'll be helpful to you. Now, I want you to know something, okay? As sheep, we really need the shepherd. Do you realize that? Do you realize just how much you need a shepherd? You need a guide in life. You see, it's man's pride. Now, listen very carefully to me. It's man's pride that says, I don't need a shepherd. I don't need a leader. I don't need a guide. I've got this. I know what I'm doing. No, you don't. No, you don't. You're full of yourself, and you're deceiving yourself. And you're headed for a great fall. And I don't want that to happen, and God doesn't want it to happen, so why should it? Listen up, and let God help you, please. Please. Don't think you've got this, because you do not. You need a guide. You need some help. You need this good shepherd that the Word of God speaks of to you here, right here in verse number 11 of John chapter 10. You see, sheep are not very smart animals. They're not. They have no defense mechanisms whatsoever. Right? I mean, what are they going to do? Hoof you to death? Yeah. You ever heard the cry of a panther, let alone a lion? I've never heard the cry of a lion, but I've heard the cry of a bobcat. I'm telling you right now, it'll send cold chills up your spine. That will. See, God has built in most animal life a defense mechanism. But what's a sheep going to do? Bah. Who's that going to scare? Who's that going to run away? See, we're sheep. I mean, we're not very smart. We really don't have much defense. We need a shepherd. Brethren, we have an enemy that we're no match for the devil. And the sooner we realize that, the better off we'll be. The closer we'll stay to our shepherd. We have no defense. We're not very smart. We're no direction. I mean, sheep wander off. Prone to wander. Listen, sheep wander from the fold. And men, women, we don't have very much direction in this spiritual thing, do we? And so Jesus said, I want you to know I'm the good shepherd. I'm going to give you three things. Number one, the good shepherd loves his sheep. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. That's an intimate term. Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and brought forth a son. I'm glad that God loves me intimately. Aren't you? I'm glad the good shepherd loves me. He knows all about me and he still loves me. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves you? Oh, listen, I pray to God that you realize how much Jesus loves you. Jesus said right here, I'm the good shepherd and I want you to know I love you. I love you. Do you realize how much Jesus loves you? I fear that there's people, I hope not under the sound of my voice, that thinks, well, you know what? I'm not worthy to be loved. Well, there's none of us worthy to be loved. Jesus doesn't love us because of who we are. Jesus loves us because of who he is. Amen. Jesus doesn't love me because I'm good. He loves me because he's good. Amen. And we need to realize that Jesus loves us. The good shepherd loves his sheep. Jesus loves you. I think sometimes we think, well, that's soft preaching. It's true preaching. Amen. What in the world's gotten into us? We want somebody to stand up and beat us and batter us and tell us, you know what? Jesus don't think much of you. Well, I'll never preach that message. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. I'm so thankful to God that he does. Now, I do have to go on and say, sometimes I feel like that Jesus loves me in spite of me. But I'm glad that the shepherd loves the sheep, aren't you? Amen. Number two, the shepherd leads the sheep. The shepherd doesn't drive the sheep. You drive from behind. See, when you're leading, you have to be out front. You have to go places where they're coming. Can I tell you that Jesus will never send you or I anywhere where he hasn't been? He's tempted in all points such as we, yet without sin. Amen. He's been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Jesus has been where we're headed. That's right. That's because he leads us, you see. Listen, when you're driving from behind and you're leading people or sheep to a place that maybe you've never been. But I'm glad our shepherd's not that way. I'm glad our good shepherd leads us. You know why he leads us? Because we're not very smart. That's right. He leaves us because he loves us. Say, what do you mean, preacher? You ever read Psalm 23 real closely? Yeah. Amen. He leads me beside the still waters. You know why? I don't have enough sense to know when I need to slow down and just get some rest. Amen. And so there will be times that the good shepherd will say, now, son, come here. Come here. You need to come apart now and rest for a while. Jesus ever do that for you? See, if you'll let him lead, he will. Amen. See, the good shepherd loves us, but he leads us. He leads us beside the still waters. He leads us into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let him lead. The good shepherd loves us. The good shepherd leads us. I have people ask me all the time, Pastor, is this God's will? Is that God's will? Is this God's will? People want you to figure out God's will for their life. I can't figure out God's will for your life. So how can I figure out God's will for my life? Well, I could give you probably 10 things that you should do to find God's will, but I'm going to give you one thing. Stay close to the shepherd. Follow hard after the shepherd. Amen? Amen? Right. Just stay right in behind the shepherd. Amen. You hear me, sheep? I want to know God's will. Will you stay right in there behind the shepherd? He'll never lead you wrong. You stay real close to him now, and you'll be in his will. Amen. Amen. He'll get you there. Just stay right close to the shepherd. You can't miss God's will that way. And then thirdly, let's see if you can figure out this one on your own. I want you to look in verse number 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Look at verse 14. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Look at verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I think there's an emphasis there, don't you? The good shepherd loves the sheep. He leads the sheep, but he lays down his life. Listen, Paul said this. He said, if God spared not his son, right, for us, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? If Jesus laid down his life for you, how could you doubt his love for you? How could you not allow him to lead you? And yet, because we're stubborn, sometimes we don't. So these are just some of the I ams. The I ams. I am. Let's stand to our feet. As we stand tonight, I wonder if Jesus is any of this to you. Is he? I am. I am the bread of life. Are you feeding on Jesus? I pray that you are. I pray that you are. Let's bow our heads together.